to listen to older voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you through their stories, life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Rob Greaves here once again, and together we listen this week to the second part of the story of Patricia Smith. Born in England to working-class parents in 1920, she shared with us how she and her brothers and sisters came from a very poor family, but how they were loved by their parents and had a wonderful childhood. She became a nurse and was stationed in the large port city of Portsmouth during World War II, where she lived there through the heavy bombing. But it was there she also met her husband-to-be, Roy Smith. They married and at war's end became 10-pound Poms and migrated to Australia. This week she tells of arriving in Australia, where she fell in love with the country and the people. We follow her story, which includes how Roy eventually passed away from the effects of drinking, which in turn were the result of the traumatic experiences that he had during the war. We learn of how she worked with disabled young people, and we listen to the story of her return to the United Kingdom. We pick up now with Patricia talking about the boat trip when she and Roy migrated to Australia. Do you remember the name of the boat you left on?
Asturias.
Asturias.
Yeah.
What was that?
It was
like
a special boat that took you to and fro to Canada or Australia.
Yeah. What was that trip like for you?
Well, I was pregnant. I had Linda. She was 3 years old, and then I was pregnant with Joe, my second daughter. Not this one.
No.
And I was seasick and pregnant and, not happy.
Not pleasant, no.
And the men were separated. We were separated and they weren't allowed. We only just met for lunch and that sort of thing. Yeah, that was awful.
Yeah, I was going to say, you must have found that a bit strange, being separated from your husband.
Well, I felt like one of those that came over in the beginning to start Australia off.
Where did you land?
Melbourne, Melbourne, yeah.
Can you remember what you thought when you landed in Melbourne?
Yes, it was a funny feeling. It was busy. I didn't expect it to be so full of people.
Right.
Cars and lorries and things. I thought it would be a bit more, just a few people still coming out, and I didn't think it would be so busy as it was at Port Melbourne. But my sister-in-law decided that she'd come out. She loved us. And instead of going to Broken Hill, she bought a place in Bentley in Victoria and decided that we'd stay with them. So that was good in a way, because Broken Hill, we heard, was very hot.
Mm.
And Roy would have to work in the mines. And he was the city slicker, as he called himself. Worked in the Strand, never done a hard,
manual
only
work,
in
yes.
the Air Force, yes. Yeah.
So what did he end up doing then?
Well, he did all sorts of things when he first came out. He worked for factories and things like that, did menial jobs. But he was high in paperwork and...
Clerical type stuff.
Yes. So he then got a job with a big firm. I forget the name of them now.
Doesn't matter.
But it was a big firm in Melbourne. And he finished up doing all that clerical work for them.
What about you? You're in a strange country, in a strange city. You've got a young family. You no longer have mum and dad there to help support you.
No.
How were you dealing with all this? Was it easy on you or was it hard?
It was hard for the first time because, my husband would come home and say, guess what? The boss said I had to call him by his Christian name. And instead of saying Mr. Tolson or whatever. Right. He had to call him by his Christian name. I said, that's disgusting. Fancy, look at this.
Yes, it's pouring out there.
Fancy. I couldn't get over that.
Because you'd come from a country where it was not done, was it?
Two classes, yes. Yeah, definitely.
And all of a sudden it's classless.
And then, yes, it was so wonderful. Oh, I made friends, yes. I had wonderful friends. And then we met a next door neighbour who came from Jindavik.
Mm-hmm.
Bullen up at Warrigal. Have you heard of those places?
There you go. I've heard of Warrigal, of course, but
well,
I've not heard of
something.
Yeah, I've not heard of what was the other place?
Jindavik.
Jindavik, no.
Yes.
No.
Oh, lovely farming place there.
So did you go up there at all?
Well, we got friendly with them because Frank, the husband, he was taken ill and left the farm, sold that. And then they wanted to go back. They hated the city.
Mm.
So they said, when we get the farm, we want you to come and stay with us. And sure enough, they asked us to go up. And so we went up on the train, and that was lovely going into the bush. And Roy, you know, only lived in the Strand in London, all around there. And to go into the country like that was some real novelty.
I bet it was an eye-opener for both of you.
Well, his job too, he had to take people out and woo them sort of for business with Tolson's. And then they started drinking. Of course, they'd have drink after drink. And Roy got to the drinking bit.
Ah.
So to go to the country and had to drink hot milk. Oh, he loved it.
He loved it.
It did him the world of good, yeah.
Well, that must have made you feel good too, though,
see him
like that.
Yes, it was lovely.
Yes. Did you ever live up in the country in the end, or did you just visit?
No, we lived at Glenroy. That was a bit countryish.
Well, but in those days, it was.
But mostly, when we first came out, then we left Roy's sister and got a place in St Kilda. Now, there was a place to go in those days. Ackland Street, St Kilda, absolutely wonderful.
What do you remember of it?
Cosmopolitan. Oh, I made a lot of friends there, yes. They're friendly people. There was always something to do. And yeah, we used to go to the football. We started to barrack for St Kilda and went every Saturday. And
that was at the Junction Oval then, wasn't it?
Oh, lovely that was, yeah. And we'd take sandwiches and the kids and we'd all scream and...
So it was a real outing, wasn't it? A family outing.
Oh, it was lovely going to the football, yes. And we'd meet up with, you know, different friends. And then we'd boo the opposition. I learned how to boo. No, it was really, really lovely.
It sounds like by now you really were Aussies.
Oh, yes. From the word go, I couldn't get over the being free.
So never any regrets after you got here about coming?
No, never. In fact, I used to save up my funeral money and then I'd go overseas with it because by then my husband was ill and he died.
Oh, what did Roy
die? He was only 55.
Oh, that was too young.
And that was the number of his squadron, 55.
Goodness,
strangely
me.
Enough.
That's right.
Every time we buy a TATS ticket or anything like that, we...
Try to
get 55.
Yes. Was it a sudden illness or was it something?
Through the drinking. Yeah.
Yes.
But then he had such memories, terrible memories, you could understand. And he wasn't a nasty drunk. He used to sing.
Yes.
Yeah, he was lovely.
That was part of the problem, wasn't it, for the men that came back from the Second World War? Unlike today, they had no real support,
no.
Did they? No.
And five females in the house, you know, that was a bit much for him too.
Yes.
He couldn't talk about the war very much.
No.
And so down the pub he'd go and all the chaps would listen to him, give him another drink. And
so it was both hurting him but at the same time kind of helping him because he had somebody to listen to.
Well, that's right, yes.
His death must have still been very traumatic for you, though. It must have left a hole in your life.
Oh, God, it was terrible. He was sick for a long time. Yes. Yeah.
and you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices, featuring the life and times of older Australians. I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with Pat Smith. And Pat is recalling her early years in Australia after migrating from England and stories about her husband and his unfortunate passing due to his heavy drinking.
And I had a job and I was a nurse in the disabled place in Chelsea.
Okay, so you kept the nursing going?
Yes, I did, yeah. It was with the disabled children and, well, you called them children. They were still children when they were 16. Yes. Gorgeous job.
Yes.
It was a pleasure going to work with them. But I had to take the time off for Roy being so sick. Yeah.
Of course.
And then he died and they were all wonderful to me. Yeah.
So what year was that he passed on?
55. He died.
So it would have been in the 70s then, probably, wasn't it?
Yes.
It would be in the 70s, yes. So were your daughters still living with you when he passed on, or had they left?
Debbie. Yes, Debbie. Linda had gone. Jo was still with me, and she had a job with the doctors. They all had good jobs, the girls. Debbie was the youngest one still at school, and she's still got mummy now.
And
she's so lucky.
She is very lucky. I think you're both lucky to have each other.
We are.
You are.
And her husband knows. She comes from Canungra up in Queensland.
Goodness me.
And she's allowed to go home every so often to her husband. Oh, dear.
Oh, she's a good girl then.
She is a lovely girl, yeah.
That must have been great to have had them with you when your husband passed away. It must have been of some comfort to have loving daughters.
Yes, yes. And it was a worry with him drinking, so, and he'd call out when he was bedridden, call out for his drink.
Yeah.
He wanted a drink. I said, nice cup of coffee, and I'd make him coffee.
Yeah.
And then he'd say, have you put some whiskey in it or brandy? Oh, yes, of course. And we'd pretend, you know, and he would drink active chat. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the war did a lot to men when they came back.
Yes. Was it difficult for you when he passed on in terms of looking after yourself and the girls? Or was that something you just took in your stride and got on with life?
Yes, I managed very well, really. The girls were wonderful with me, yes.
Mm.
They've all been wonderful.
That British
but
spirit.
But I do remind them that I was, you know, I did look after them when they were young and I suffered having them.
Yeah, well, that's what mothers do, isn't it? And I'm sure they've got their own children now, and
they'll
hopefully remind their children of the same thing one day.
Yeah, they do. Yes. Yeah, they're wonderful daughters, everyone. I've been very lucky. I've been very lucky in life, really.
You have been lucky in life, haven't you? Did you go back to work after Roy died?
Yes, after a little while, I did. Yeah, they wanted me back, so, and that was a pleasure going in with all those disabled people. People don't realise how wonderful they are.
They don't. A lot of people pretend, but really, they see them quite differently, don't they?
Oh, yes.
They're just human beings, aren't they?
Oh, they're wonderful. Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And it's so good to be able to teach them something. I had a little boy, he was 16, and he had to do something for Brighton, one of the big schools in Brighton, make something. And I forget what it was, but he went outside and he was going to jump off the line, the line in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to jump off, but this thing went up under his neck and choked him, and he was... swinging there, and the neighbour happened to see him.
How terrible.
So, of course, he was quite disabled when he came in. Lovely 16-year-old, beautiful boy. And I took to him, and I taught him to say my name gradually. He was able to say Patricia Mary, age 40, and I was about 60 then. And
that didn't matter.
Oh, he was lovely, and his mother then wasn't satisfied. She wanted him to get on a bit more, so She took him to America, and they had a meeting at the board to take him in and see what he was like. And so they said, stand up. So he stood up. And they said, this whole board of Yanks, and they said, what's your name? He said, Patricia Mary, age 40.
Bless him.
Oh, so the mother brought him back to our school again.
Yes.
Yes, so that was one of my wonderful times.
Wonderful memories too. Mm, yes.
Lovely, lovely job. Everyone was lovely.
Listen to older voices. The magic of memories.
When did you leave the job then? About, like, did you, at retiring age or
Well,
before?
No, because I'd saved up enough to go overseas.
Where did you go?
Back to England to my sister and my brother.
Mum and Dad were dead by then,
yeah, machine. Yeah, and I took Debbie with me.
Right.
And then...
what was that like for you going back there? Was it the same or was it different?
It was strange. Yes, it was strange. I couldn't get used to this stuffiness and I... Yeah, I found fault a lot with them. Especially when we're playing cricket. The Aussies are playing them. So I was all for the Aussies, yes. That was wonderful.
But I guess things that had changed in terms of, you know, the houses and the streets and the roads, because you left at the end of the war and went back, you know. Had Roy died when you went back?
Oh, yes, on? Yeah. So, he didn't ever want to go back. He loved Australia, yeah.
So a lot had changed in the 25 or so, 30 years that she'd been here.
No, we wouldn't want to go back there and live, we said.
No. So what about the family? Had they changed much?
My family in England?
Yes.
Oh, they never changed.
Never,
no.
How long were you there for?
About? I stayed a year, really, with my sister because her husband died. And she was all upset, and so she asked me if I'd stay a bit longer, and it went on for a year.
Right.
But by then I was really ready to go home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Deborah would have had to go to school while you were there.
Oh, yes, they'd all had their own jobs. And
oh, she was at
Linda
she
married,
school, was she?
And right. Joe had married, right. So, yes, Patsy... the other one, Patsy, she became a teacher, and I took her to Italy in the middle of her divorce. And then she loved Italy that much. She said, I won't come back until I can speak the language. And surely enough, she studied, and we both went back again. And she applied for a job as teacher in Rome, and she's still there.
Well, there you go. What did you think of Italy? Did you enjoy it?
Italy?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
What was it about Italy that you enjoyed so much?
Well, being with Patsy, and she took me to all these lovely places and the history. The history is so important.
It is.
And, and I had a lovely time with her. And I met lots of Italians and learned a few words like ti amo and things like that that I found out instead of saying, I shouldn't say ti amo because that said darling.
Right.
And I meant to say hello or something like that. So I got into a mess with their language, really.
But you made the effort to try.
Oh, and you wouldn't believe it when Patsy made friends and this lady invited us to a lovely lunch. And we're all sitting out in a veranda and you went up steps and there's the grass and trees, lovely olive trees and all that sort of thing. But there was one space and so they said, come on, we'll dance around this. And we danced around this space and it was one of Roy's, they said, Roy's delayed action bombs.
Oh, my goodness me.
dropped on the way to Rome.
Dropped on the way to Rome. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Oh, we enjoyed that. We never thought it would blow up.
No. What about the food? Did you enjoy the Italian food?
You did get fed up with it. And Patsy was married then to an Italian chap who thought he was a great cook, but it was all spaghetti, spaghetti.
Okay.
And so one day I got fed up and I said, I'm cooking, and I did a roast and the English batter pudding, you know, the Yorkshire pudding. Did all that and the gravy.
Oh, the whole thing.
Oh, gravy was, oh dear, taboo there.
I was going to say, you must have had to make it from scratch, because you couldn't go and buy Gravox or anything in Italy, would
God,
you?
Oh, God, no, nothing like that. They made everything themselves. They're clever cooks.
Yes.
But boring, really, because, you know, tiramisu, I think that's a pudding. We had that. That was lovely. And it had wine in it, you know, sherry and all.
How did they respond to your roast? Did they enjoy it?
No.
But you did.
He hated it. Never going to have it again. And couldn't understand gravy on your meat.
I think that's very funny.
No, he wasn't happy with me. And I didn't like him. He was very sneaky. Cynthia and I, it was this big house Patsy had, and the curtains were all ragged at the bottom. So I said, while they're at work, we'll sew these up. So we got on our hands and knees and sewed all the bottoms straight, and doing that. And so this guy, I've even forgotten his name now, he came home and... he complained that my sister wasn't doing a good job.
Having left it there like tattery for years, and then complain when you fixed
it. Well, the Irish in me got up at all, And so when I got the needle and cotton, and you put the needle through the cotton, the roll of cotton, and I brought that over and I said, if you can do anything better than that, Here's the needle and cotton, and I put it in.
All that Irish.
I think I severed a vein, but I was glad.
So your trip back from England, or did you go from Italy to Australia, or back to England and then to Australia?
No, I went to back to Australia. Yeah.
Was that by boat or by air then?
By air then, yeah.
That was quite a different journey to when you came over the first time.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. I don't like ships. Right. I don't like going on the water.
No, well, I can understand that after that experience.
A strange sound and name, far away over the sea. Those far away places with strange sound and name are calling, calling me. Go into China, or maybe science. I wanna see for myself those faraway places I've been reading about in a book that I took from the shelf. I start getting restless whenever I hear the whistle of a train. I pray for the day I can get underway and look for those castles in Spain. Oh, they call me a dreamer. Well, maybe I am. faraway places with strange sounding names. Colin, Colin, me.
Next week, in part three, the final part of a story, Pat talks at length about the wonderful overseas travels that she's had. She also talks about some of the wonderful insights into life that ageing has brought to her. That's next week, Pat Smith on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.